something good.
Tell me that you like it, yeah.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You show. My name is Alisa.
My name's Liz. Hola.
Hola.
Hola. Mixing it up. Well, I actually got sleep, so yay.
Oh, good.
Last show was rough, but very fulfilling.
Yeah.
As it always is. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So how are you today, BB?
I'm good. All things considered, I had to do a tour yesterday, a work yesterday, which was a lot of fun. So it's just nice to do something midweek, do a tour midweek, because it's never that busy, really, at the wineries. And this group, it was a mother and, a daughter and her parents. Her parents are from, they're all from Australia.
Nice.
Yeah, they're from Australia. Parents are visiting from Australia. She lives here. She and her Australian husband, they all came over, live here in Atlanta. But, she was going to take the day off. She did, like, a very brief morning stint at work and, like, took off for the rest of the day. So she apparently has been on our tours before as a guest.
Oh.
And she called me Monday and said, my parents are here. And I want to take them to the wineries. And so, are you available on Wednesday? I'm like, yeah, I can do that. So
nice.
They were super nice and just a lot of fun. If you've ever gone traveling, I mean, Australians are just, they're gregarious. They're hilarious. So we had a good time.
That's great. And especially since you've been there. We have friends that are from there. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So that was fun. I've got another Australian couple that's coming next month. They're coming in town for a conference. I'm thinking I'll probably be the one to drive because it's going to be, again, sometime in the middle of the week, so on a Thursday. So
perfect.
That one, I may not. Be able to do the show Thursday, I'm excited, and it was just a good day, very good day, and fun. But and then last night, because of where they lived, I stopped off at Lolita's parlor and just said hi to her. She was busy. I mean, not busy. She was busy like near the end. When I came in, there was a little bit of a lull, so she was just doing some work for some Comcast work, which was really funny.
I love it.
Yeah. And she was hustling. It was good.
That's
great day today.
Beautiful. And it's that she's hanging in there for that bit with the business, and that's, I'm not surprised at all. Yay. That's wonderful. And probably since I believe the place that replaced the business that replaced the Walmart, which is kind of like an upgrade in terms of the marketing.
It's a farmer's market. There's a chain called City Farmers Markets, because there's one over where we live. There's one over by my chiropractor's office near where I used to live.
I want one over here where I live. Hello. That's great, though.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, they've got really good prices. That's where I go to get a lot of my stuff for my smoothies.
Are you still doing that?
$5. Yeah, when I can't. Sometimes it's just because if I'm super busy, I'll save whatever extra that we have. Like, everyone gets a cup, everyone gets a glass, and if there's a little bit left over, I'll just save that and I'll use that just to drink. And then, so that's what I did yesterday. I didn't have time to do a whole smoothie, but today I will. So
beautiful.
It's good.
Glad to hear it. So as you know, I was very out of my body on Tuesday's show, and I'm not used to this, taking time that I need. What a concept. Completely foreign concept. And it's just what I had. It's just what I had to do. I had to really listen. And because I gave myself that grace to just step back and process a little bit of the trauma that had taken place, and to sort of look at the week, just there was three upsetting circumstances, and to give myself that spaciousness, and to I just knew, like, this, I really didn't want to talk to anybody. I really didn't want to leave the house. And it wasn't because I was in such panic. It was not being completely in my body and feeling that. And when you, and that, you put yourself at a whole, especially where I live, or anybody, you put yourself in a whole lot of risk. If I drove, I wouldn't drive that day. Say, this is not a day for me to be on the road. So it wasn't a day for me to walk outside of my apartment even. I didn't even think I got the mail that day. I didn't even want to go down to the lobby.
Right.
Yeah. Just did not want to risk any chit-chat. Sometimes you just can't do the chit-chat. And you got to, you know, go within. And I'm very glad that I allowed myself that space, and I was exhausted and managed to get some sleep. That night somewhat, particularly last night, and I'm happy to say I just had to let everything go and tap into the love that's always going to be buried someplace within me, and I don't know what time it was, but I didn't have much contact, had minimal contact with my kids. I wasn't avoiding them. I was just giving myself a breather. And thank God there were a ton of leftovers. I didn't have to cook the way I always cook. Ton of leftovers from this event that we had Monday night. I did cook. Hello. Yep. Nope. I'm so used to cooking all the time. I forget that when I am cooking, I made one meal, so I felt like I didn't cook. Wah wah wah. No, I did cook. Anyway, wah wah wah. So my younger son comes in. I mute the TV. He lays in the bed with me. We hold hands. And we had a very mature conversation. So let the healing begin.
Good.
Yeah. So I'm relieved. I am relieved. So I think sometimes you have to really listen to yourself and give yourself what you need, even if you're not used to that. You know. And my default setting is to do. So this is completely new. But let's switch it up for Act Three.
Right.
As I like to call it, the stage of life. You know, it's Act Three. Don't really want it to be Act Four. Thank you. I'll be good with Act Three. Oh, my God. What do you think about people who aspire, because the science is there, aspire to live to like 110, 120?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, no.
I like it. I like, Well, I like the idea because I think if we're able to, you know, to live to that age, it's not really about the number, but in
right.
a way, it's just like if your quality of life is still really good at 99, 100, if you're still feeling pretty good, moving around, you know, you have all your faculties. You know, what I've seen is people who maybe take retirement and then they just start to wither away.
Right.
And then I've seen my dad who was kind of forced to take early retirement, and here he is traveling the world. Like he just loves
it. He worked it.
Right.
The bad ones
know
how to
work it. Mindset.
Yeah.
It's a mindset in what what we see, what we take in as truth.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I put that on the same level as people who heal themselves of whatever they have.
Yes, that's a good point.
And so, you know, and that's a slightly different intention is that for them, it's like, man, I want to live and I want to live well, and I'm not going to be told no.
Right.
So that's a lot of digging deep. I mean, that's stuff that, you know, that's on a different level, but it's the same intention. So, you know, it's when I look at my, me and my friends, and I'm like, wait, this is considered middle age, all right? So middle age is halfway, allegedly.
Right.
So, you know, so I'm supposed to live until close to 100 or whatever.
Right.
But at what point do we give up? And I know it's a combination of just like what we're used to doing every day and making some different choices and all the baggage we carry with us. So as we are on our spiritual path and as we're working through our stuff and we're like releasing layers and layers of old stuff, why wouldn't you think, yeah, you know, maybe, you know, in our heads right now, just like when I was younger, you know, 40 looked like a certain thing to me, you know, like, oh my God, you talk to some college students, like 30 is old, you know, oh my God,
oh,
so
absolutely.
Old, he's 30. Like,
yep.
Like you're 20, you know,
right.
You're 19.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we'll talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I was scrolling through Facebook and one of the memories was from 10 years ago or 9 years ago. I'm like, wow, I looked pretty good 9 years ago. You know, everything's in relation to, you know, what you think you're supposed to be doing. And this is it's an interesting topic because I've been playing phone tag with one of my friends. She's like my very first girlfriend, so we're still good friends.
Mm-hmm.
She and her her partner are going to be in town next month. Her birthday is in May. So they're both going to be in town. I've never met a partner, so I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
But so she and I had a chance to really catch up and talk. We talked for like 2 hours
wow.
the other night,
mm-hmm.
and we really don't keep in touch that often. So it was just really nice to do that. And you know, she turns 50,
mm-hmm.
and she's a second friend. And then I have another friend who's turning 40 in June, and they both are just like, yeah, I'm kind of dreading this one because it's a significant number. It's a, you know, an age where I'm really thinking about what I haven't accomplished. And, you know, I thought my life would be different, whatever, you know, what this age, and it was, you know, it was a heaviness to it.
Right.
And I thought, well, that's just really interesting that's coming up. With two of my really good friends, and I guess there's that, like, you know, the milestones. If you grow up in the States, if you grow up, I guess, you know, anywhere in the Western world, you have these like fairy tales that they're told. You know, you have models of what to expect, and so the whole thing of, you know, I'm supposed to have kids by now. I should have already had, you know, X amount of money saved, whatever the story may be. And it's interesting how that expectation, you carry that with you.
Yeah.
throughout all the decades. And then at some point you take a moment, like, wait a minute, this doesn't line up with what I thought of when I was told when I was, you know, six. And so I think it's important periodically to and not like, you know, every 30 years to kind of take stock of your life. And I, you know, listening to my friend, I didn't realize she bought a house last year. I said, "Oh, that's great."
Wow.
I said, I didn't know you bought a house. And, cause last time I visited her, it was probably, I don't know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, they were in a nice apartment complex, but you know, that's just where they were. And now, so she's like, "Oh yeah, I got a house." And I'm like, "Wow, that's great." So, you know, in our talking, she said, "You know, I worry about all this stuff, but in the whole scheme of things, you know, I mean, my life is really not that bad." I said, "Exactly." You know,
right.
You know, all things considered, she's doing really well. But it's just that getting out of her headspace. And it can get, so, you know, you and I talk about when we have to do our shows and it's around the holidays, people get really depressed.
Right.
And it's,
right.
So if you think of your birthday as one of those milestones, it's like, yeah, I mean, people who are just in denial of, yeah, I'm not even celebrating the day. I don't even want to acknowledge that I've, you know, grown another year or whatever. And then there are people who don't think about the days at all. Because even acknowledging one more year kind of gets you in a particular state of mind. So
right.
It's interesting, these different levels, but you know, I just look at that, I'm paying attention, I'm thinking, wow, if you're middle aged and you're in your 40s or 50s, then your life expectancy, you're already assuming, well, by 90, 100, if I'm lucky, you know, But it's different from saying I want to live forever, which is kind of what we think when we're little. You know, I can't imagine I'm just going to live forever, you know. And
right.
Maybe you will. But maybe you'll be in a lot of pain the entire time.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's just a lot to consider. And when people, when people take in all the stuff from like what their parents, you know, are expecting them to do, and
right.
them not really knowing what they want to do or not even given the freedom to explore
right.
what they would like to do and experience. I think you come up with certain things. And I kind of chuckle because I never thought about myself like getting married and, you know, having the kids. Like I heard it around me, but in my bones I'm like, yeah, I just don't know if that's the path that I'm supposed to be taking.
Yeah, good for you.
And so all these things, I mean, it doesn't mean that I don't think about those things.
Of course.
Because certainly there are times when I'm looking at myself thinking, well, you know, like there's a lot of stuff I don't have, but I'm okay with that. It's like,
right.
Like people who own their homes and they're really attached to their homes.
Right.
And that can be taken away, you know.
Right.
In a blink of an eye.
You
just have to start over again.
We all have possibility, but you have possibility.
Well, really, everybody has possibilities.
That's what
I say. To the degree that you're holding on to
right.
But I'm supposed to have this. I mean, and that's really tough.
Yeah.
So it's a really tough situation to look into. But I think that's part of our process is, wow, what kind of stuff are we making it more difficult for ourselves? We just haven't been aware because that's been our default mode for so long.
Right.
Worrying about what
yep.
other people are going to think and worrying about what other people are going to do. And how are we going to respond, or really how are we going to react to it?
Right.
Waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Right.
All these things that we get wrapped up in. And,
right.
And that's why, you know, when you look at kids, there's so much joy and freedom in what they do because they're not thinking about, you know, well, am I going to, if I take this, you know, this $5 that my aunt gave me, I'll put it into my piggy bank, you know, and I put it in the bank, is it going to have enough interest, you know, for savings? And no one's thinking, you know, the kids
can
are,
I invest,
like,
can I invest
here.
That $5? Right.
Right. You know, they're just, they're not in that mode, and they don't, but they learn that. They learn that from somewhere.
Yep. And, yeah, what you're saying really ties into what I started the show with, where gracefully stepping back, gracefully surrendering, gracefully tapping into being as present as possible, which does not mean you neglect your bills, this, that, and the other. You still do your due diligence. It's that grip of control, false control. Yeah. Not much we can control outside of our responses or if we feel aligned or not. You know, and to use feeling uncomfortable as, oh, this means I'm not aligned. I need to sit someplace and center myself for 5 minutes, what have you. And I have to say that meditation has become invaluable. That even, I mean, I do it every morning, but even if I feel not aligned, I'll take 5 minutes to get myself back there. So if these experiences in this life leads you to this moment of, oh, I know how to manage this chaos, or to have a barricade so I don't fall into the rabbit hole. And when you're falling into that rabbit hole, and the worst rabbit hole for me is when I feel inadequate as a parent, and I feel that I'm failing my children. And this is all self-inflicted because I'm not doing any of those things.
Right.
It's really more about releasing control and knowing the most infallible law of all is the law of free will. So I can do everything within the every fiber of my being to be as strong, as tough, as resilient, as loving, as supportive, as resourceful, as energetic as what it takes, especially to be a single parent, because it's not cute. And that's enough. When I feel that it's not enough is when I go into that rabbit hole and I diminish my alignment with who I really am. Then I'm just fragments. So I needed to dial that back. That felt too much like last year. It felt too much like, and I think we got a little reminder. But it's interesting that these there were three circumstances that happened in the last week, and it's interesting that they did happen because the potential for wholeness and alignment is always there, as is the potential to not be aligned. Both things that coexist. So in not being afraid of what could happen, what might happen, which I go into that place of safety of my children and everything else, also the good stuff can happen too. So
right.
It's that balance, right. So it's that balance of living in what actually my friend Teresa, who runs her private retreats in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we had a nice talk yesterday. My older son is actually going to do his private retreat with her. He leaves to Albuquerque on Monday. I'm so excited for him.
Wow.
So she and I were talking, and she reminded me. She reminded me of when I said, oh, my God, can I trade places with him? She reminded me of some things that we worked with when I was there, and about, and I guess this is Eastern philosophy, the midway. Living in the midway where you're not in any extreme. And that's what I was doing. I was either showing so much devotion to, especially to my younger son, to a fault where I was just on him about the schoolwork and the this and the that, whatever, that
mm-hmm.
I was diminishing my connection with myself, then I'll go the other way where I don't even want to talk to him.
Right.
So either way, it's there are other options. And the midway is to be balanced between two extremes. So it's inclusive. It's inclusive of the light and the darkness. But to have that balance, because both possibilities in any moment always exist. So we're always trying to run away from the dark. If we can just embrace, like, no, this is the fullness of our experiences, how we activate which way we're going to go will let us know if we're in alignment or not. So let's use it as a tool. Let's use it as a helpful filter, a helpful tool. And I'm so glad I had the conversation with her. So I realized I was really kind of staying away from the kids a little bit. And I knew, okay, that's too extreme. Too extreme where I'm going to make a meal in silence like I'm a monk and, like, you know, retreat into my little monastery. Like, what the hell is that? So I knew I had to soften that edge, soften that frequency to be more energetically open and available to my kids, not walk around with the sign saying, hi, I'm available, I'm going through stuff, I'm moody, ha, ha, ha. Nope, none of that. And how wonderful that my youngest must have felt that shift, because then we had a beautiful conversation and a moment of clarity and a moment of understanding where we're both coming from. And I said to him, I said, so in me stepping back, what does that mean to you? He goes, I have to step up. I said, there you go.
Ooh.
I'm like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think I've talked about this on the air, that I had him and myself participate in a study at a place called the Child Mind Institute, the Healthy Brain Network. So that, in lieu of going in as a client paying $10,000 for evaluation services, I found that they had a study which didn't cost us anything. So we have to do certain things and submit data and that the brain science would contribute to medical science for children's mental health. So that's how I sold it to my son. Like, oh my God, look, we're gonna help people and all that. But today is the last day where it's just myself, and I meet with a clinical psychologist, and I get his evaluations, I get his assessment, and I'll get recommendations. So I had to remind myself yesterday, it's not like the judging parent police is going to come here to say, how are you educating your child? This clearly doesn't seem to be working, whatever. That's not going to happen. This is just me being neurotic and paranoid. But I'll have clinical documentation
right.
to support
right.
that I needed to have my son repeat seventh grade to be stable and to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I would do things any other way. To be safe. His education means nothing if he's not alive.
Mm-hmm.
To be safe, to be stable. So very interesting when you get that clarity, and then that can bleed over into other things. Like, you get clarity about getting older. You get clarity about what you've accomplished in this life, or what you think you should have accomplished in this life by now. And it really helps to focus on what you have. It just and I wish more people would do that. I think that tills the soil, so to speak, for more things to bloom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when they get older, when they turn 60, 70, 40 and 50 is going to look pretty good.
Yeah.
You know? So it's all perspective.
And then, yeah, and then, like, you see these things. I remember seeing this a few months ago. I think he's Japanese. He's, like, 60 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he got into I don't know what he started doing, but he started, like, doing, like, a little bit of bodybuilding. He's not a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like a model now. Like, he kind of, you know.
Oh, hello.
Like, what? You're, you know. And he's got like the salt and pepper hair and a little Fu Manchu. He's got, you know, but he looks really good. Like, he's vibrant. And he said, you know, and the video was just one of those, well, I knew I needed to just do something, and it's never too late. To get into something and start taking care of, you know, to really take care of yourself and
right.
You know, you're in the body. You're in this body, so, you know, what would you want to do? How would you want to live? And he's strutting around, man. He's on, like, on the runway, you know.
Oh, that's so
great.
Cute. I love that.
Yeah, if I can find it, I'll put it in the chat room. But
how cute.
I just think, you know, that kind of mentality, it's like you said, it works both ways. You know, there's light
exactly.
and dark, and it exists all in the same time. It's just, you know, what are you actually focusing on in any given moment?
Right.
And
right.
so and there are times, and you're right, I think there are people who only seem to focus on, you know, sunshine and rainbows, and you know, meanwhile inside they're in shambles because they haven't
yeah.
really faced some stuff, and so for them the vulnerability of showing that, oh my gosh, you're human and you feel
right.
and things hurt and sometimes you do stub your toe, but that doesn't mean you spend, you know, the next 10 years stubbing your toe. Right. We
right.
think in such absolutes sometimes that
mm-hmm.
It's to our detriment that we can't see the whole picture, because even when really, really difficult things happen, there is growth that happens. So, like, when you had your conversation with your son
mm-hmm.
and there was an opening for him to answer,
mm-hmm.
you know, to come from his heart, you know, he needed to step up. He said that. He recognized
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
he's not going to see that if you're always doing stuff for him.
If
like,
I'm not,
he's not
stepping
gonna
back,
be able to,
or right, locking
right.
heads with horns with him, or fighting with him, right?
Right. So, and so sometimes you just have to, like, you know, for you to turn the page, you may get a paper cut. You know,
I have several. Yeah.
Page.
Right.
So it really is. It is our mentality. I think that it comes with, obviously, with what you grew up with. And just like I had an old high school friend whose parents were alcoholics, and he never touched the stuff.
Wow.
So he saw stuff growing up that he's like, well, I don't want that. I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna choose something else. So
wow.
It doesn't mean that you perpetuate a pattern. Like, we have so many choices. And so, you know, yeah, you could take a snapshot at any given moment in anyone's life and think, oh my gosh, that's horrible, or ooh, I hope they get out of it. And you just have to give it some time. And you know, I think of my oldest brother, like, you know, he
mm-hmm.
we grew up in the same household, and so he took in some things that he decided, well, at some point I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna do it on my own. Don't wanna be bothered, you know. But
mm-hmm.
that's just where he is. And I'm like, well, who knows? Maybe it's a 10-year thing. I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
I hope at some point it comes back around where
yes.
he's open to being in touch. You know, still send him a lot of love.
Yeah.
But that's
just for your parents, though, you know. That
yeah.
would just be,
yeah.
you know. I mean, for everybody, but in particular your parents, because I can't even imagine. I mean, I'm sure you have to get to a point where you have to accept the choices that they made. But
sure,
that's
and
hard.
The thing is, it is difficult. There's no lie about that, because it comes up every so often. You know,
mm-hmm.
especially my mom. You know, mm-hmm. the thing is,
of course, oh my God,
they still love him.
No matter what. That's what. That's
no
my point.
What.
That's absolutely,
no matter what.
Absolutely. No matter what.
So as you know, as disappointed as they may be, and I'm sure at times you know they were angry, but
of course.
They still love him. So the energy is still there. The energy
yes.
is still there. So whenever he decides to open up, then he'll receive it, whether they're here on the planet or not.
I know, my God. It would be so healing for everybody, even if they just had that closure, you know, while your parents are still here.
Right.
It would be, and especially, believe it or not, especially for your brother.
Well, yeah.
Believe it or not. Yeah. And I know that they would embrace him with open arms at this point. It really would be prodigal son.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
You, if it's so many years without having any contact from your child, at this point, alive, healthy, okay. Things get real basic real quick. The times last year where I didn't know where my son was, or he got hurt, or he was in the hospital, or what have you. If there's breath, there's possibility. So let's just work with that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, sorry, I don't know how that's going to play out. And it is, it's, you know, it's one of those heart-wrenching, like, oh, you know, if anything happens. And, you know, and something is going to happen at some point. And it's a matter of, you know,
mm-hmm.
Will we be able to get in touch with him? But that's left for another day.
It's in the wings. Yeah, it's in the wings.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just. I mean, I think about your mom. I think about your parents, but particularly your
mm-hmm.
mom. You know, with Mother's
mm-hmm.
Day coming up, it's always going to be kind of hollow. I think of my youngest son's biological mom. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
All the time. I mean, call me an empath. Yes, that's why we do a show twice a week. Yes, so it's very bittersweet. But I really hope that if he has the grace to emerge and just to hold space with you guys, I know all it could be transformative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be really beautiful.
And, you know, what came to mind just
mm-hmm.
now was the same kind of energy where, you know, I had my uncle Roof, who was in hospice, and everyone wanting him to kind of, oh, I hope he can stay alive through the holidays. You know, that type of,
yeah.
you know, oh, if only, and it's like, wow.
Why?
You know, if you.
Let him, leave him be.
If you just, and that's sort of how I feel.
Yeah,
like with my brother, it's like
yeah.
energetically
Ethan.
You can
yeah.
still do a lot of work, just send him a lot of love and
that's
keep
right.
him in
that's
a thought,
right.
in your
that's
thoughts.
Right.
And
that's right.
And however it needs to play out, it'll play out.
Oh
obviously
yeah.
Hospice is one of those like well, very rarely do you get someone who's in hospice who's like oh, and all of a sudden I feel better. It's like no, that's you know you're at a point where you're like I'm really ready.
Yes.
I'm really really ready to let go, and. And so energetically, being able to say your final words in this form, you know, to him in his form, is important. But it's and so like that mentality of would it make you really feel better if he stayed around through Christmas? Would it make you feel better?
Yeah, right.
It'll make you feel better. Not regardless of how he's feeling. You know, it just makes you feel better. But then that makes that day, whenever it happens, oh, then that was the last holiday. There's just so much heaviness with that.
Yeah,
So really changing the way we look at it, you can still feel it. Like, you're going to feel what you're going to feel.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to reframe it where, you know, well, like I said, I think I said this with both situations, with my uncle and with my brother, like with my uncle, I was able to verbally and energetically say what I needed to say to him. You know, and it was sad. It was, you know, amidst a room full of people just, you know, kind of in tears, sniffling and crying. And I just had to be able to, you know, say, you know, but these are the things I remember about you. You know, these are some of my favorite memories with you.
Yes.
And
yes.
I wanted to kind of end it with that kind of energy, because that's the sort of energy he was. He was really intelligent, really, really playful, kind
mm-hmm.
of mischievous. You know,
mm-hmm.
he kind of had a really mischievous sense of humor. So that's what I remember. And that's what I wanted to convey, like, you know,
absolutely, the like light
a,
and the
like
joy.
Like a thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a thank you for that.
Thank you for being amazing. Right. Thank you for
right.
shedding light. Yeah, with my dear, dear friend who passed away in February, who,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness, that has just opened up a whole portal of experience.
Mm-hmm.
I am so close now. I always was close to her and her husband. But, like, we are like such family, her husband
mm-hmm.
and myself, and we share that love and that bond. But I remember when she was in ICU, dancing with her, giving her gossip in her ear, just all joking, all the stuff we would do,
mm-hmm.
that's what I need to keep alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
As devastating as it is, it's that she was always on everybody's favorite person list. Such a person
yeah.
when she walked into the room, like, oh my God, one of our favorite people.
Yeah,
yeah. Like all the
yeah.
time. Party in the box, yay. Right. So wanted to send her off in grand style.
Yeah. yeah. That makes me think, and I actually have a hand raised, but it makes me think about just with my brother, you know, really maybe just writing something, whether it goes to him or not, but just writing something, journaling something about him. And,
I think you should.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and sort of, you know, because his birthday is the day after mine. So.
Oh, that's right.
And he'll be in a 1 year.
Interesting.
So,
you never
know. There's possibilities there.
Yeah.
Let's get to this call, though.
Yeah, let's take this call.
Area code 973. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
Hi, Alyssa. This is Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
Jackie. Hey.
Yeah. I haven't spoken to you ladies in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
and
going on, girl?
Yeah.
Allergies are getting me, so my voice is like out of whack.
Oh, allergies. Yeah, yeah. You're in Jersey,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so everything's in bloom, everything's out, everything's in the air, so.
Yeah, but it still feel like spring. It just feel like it's a teaser.
Well, but isn't that life? One big tease after another.
Yeah,
well. Yeah. Anyway,
I don't know exactly
what
you ladies were talking about, because I did came on late. And, but just hearing a few of your comments, the energies are crazy when you have to deal with other people. It really is.
Right.
Especially for someone who's empathic.
Right. All
really.
Day. Yeah, sometimes,
and
like
just,
I was talking about earlier, I don't know if you heard this part of it, but just making the conscious choice to just step back.
Yes, and that's so difficult.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me tell you, it's like a roller coaster.
Isn't
and
it,
it's
though?
An emotional roller coaster. Because
yep.
if you're dealing with someone who's, let's say, physically sick, emotionally sick, or mentally sick, even spiritually sick. It drains everything.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My thing is, I do want to step back. I make the attempts to step back, and they still come after me and follow me. Like, you know, I have a son that struggles with addiction.
Right.
I have a brother that he's just, like, not a nice person, and he doesn't like to take accountable or responsibility. He doesn't want to be accountable for anything, and he won't take responsibility for nothing but women and bad cars.
May I ask you a question about your
money.
Brother?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I understand, you know, the commitment and the obligation to your
mm-hmm.
child as a mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is your brother in the household?
He's not in the household, but how he affected my household.
Okay.
He's the brother that I took over after I took over the state after he messed it up.
Right.
And it showed back up out of nowhere months later once I started to make progress.
Okay.
And so it was psychologically draining. He was intimidating me.
Right. Now, what is the status? Okay, I understand. Thank you. So what is the status now in terms of, is there any need?
There's still some legal issues down the road because
okay.
I'm paying, but nothing is in my name yet. But I saved the house from being in foreclosure, and I don't want to lose my money. But I don't want to lose my mind and the shirt off my back.
Okay. And is there legal support or mediation support?
I do have attorneys, but again, I have to pay them.
Of course. But in
and
terms
right
of
now, I'm still trying to put the puzzle pieces together
right.
so I could submit my official accounting and go back to court. I mean, in terms
right.
of my responsibility. I did everything I was supposed to do.
Exactly, right.
But it
right.
was a lot.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right. So now we're dealing with that.
So much.
Okay. Listen, okay, I get it. So now, and it's exhausting. I get it.
It breaks my heart to see the mess that he made
okay.
and know that he's still in the wings. He's not the only one. Him and another sister and a brother, they're still in the wings.
Okay.
Still expecting something from me.
Okay, now, let's expect wholeness that you can give to yourself, for yourself, to yourself. Right now, when we talked about this before, Jackie, about the most infallible law is the law of free will. So there's nothing really that you can do outside of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now, right now, like your auric field, it's like leaking. It's like a tire that got slashed and all the air is out, and you have to drive cross country.
Right, right.
So how do you repair that tire, that auric field? Let me ask you a couple quick questions. Do you have any sort of spiritual practice?
Yes, I sage, I smudge, I meditate. You know, I surround myself with white light.
Okay, well then
I call out my angels.
Okay, good. I'm so happy to hear that. So like I was saying before, when you're feeling that low about it and that heavy and that drained and exhausted, and I really understand. I'm sure many of us listening understand. Keep it. You're already at capacity. So what's happening is that it's almost so conditional, like it's almost like a habit that you fall into that rabbit hole. So the support that you're getting through the meditation, through the spirituality, all of that. Now let's make that you're doing everything in your power to restore wholeness inside of you. And this is going to sound very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. And I just did this not that long ago with my ex-husband, okay,
mm-hmm.
where I had to really step back, forgive, and I did forgive for him, I forgave for me, forgive and take accountability for the choices that I made in my life. Doesn't mean I was blaming anybody. I wasn't blaming anybody. But I had to tell myself, I chose this, and these experiences, I'm going to come out of it, or I'm coming out of it, wiser, better, and stronger than ever. So I gently suggest that the spiritual practices that you're doing, that they are enough for you to, you know what I mean? It's like take that energy, raise that energy a little bit, because to the degree that you're just, you know, going, I'm not saying that you're going through the motions, but to the degree that you're doing that, but you're still feeling the heaviness and you're activating how much they can drain you, you can make that choice energetically. Okay, this is happening and this isn't great and this isn't going to go away anytime soon. However, what can go away is my damaged auric field. So in your meditation, I actually suggest you're doing this spiritual practice anyway, Jackie. I suggest that it's almost like, okay, I'm under construction. Right? So you have the caution tape around you. You have the little orange cones around you. You're a construction site. You're under renovation.
Yes.
Okay?
Literally or figuratively.
And do not enter, right? Meaning other. Do not enter. We already know that they're on deck. But do not, it's almost like saying, well, we got termites and we got rats, so I'm going to have a rat and termite party so they could, like, jack up my house. No. So you have that power within yourself. Okay, my intention is to repair my auric field. And you don't even need to necessarily know what that means for you, because it can mean whatever you need it to mean. But if you make that your meditation, and that you give more, if you could switch the energy that you have on your siblings and on this situation and you give it to spirit,
mm-hmm.
if you switch that up, I think if you swap it.
Yeah, I think I swapped my with my siblings, I know I gave them to spirit.
Yes, but what I'm hearing is
my weakest point at this point right now is my son. And he's very manipulative. And I think the forgiveness part is I feel like I'm responsible for what happened to him.
Oh, I know. I understand completely. How old? Because I remember we talked about your son before. How old is he?
He's 20. He'll be 21. And he goes from being 20 to 12.
I know. Yeah. No, that's out there. I don't know if you heard this part of the show, Jackie, but I think he might still be eligible, because he's still technically a child. He's between 18 and 21, I don't know. But I had my son be part, I talked about this before, earlier today, you probably didn't hear it, but I enrolled my son in a free study at the Child Mind Institute here in Manhattan, because the services are really, really expensive, and I'm like, I have to find a way around this. And it's really about brain health.
Yeah, his health, his brain is not healthy.
Well,
and I know how he got messed up. He got messed up in high school.
Jackie.
Yeah.
Do you want to write this down, and maybe you can do? You can maybe exceed if you can register online to have him and yourself be part of the study. It doesn't take It doesn't take a lot of time. But I'm actually going for the last day. I go by myself, and I sit down and I get recommendations, and I'll get his evaluation. It didn't cost me anything. If you did that privately, it would cost thousands and thousands of dollars. So,
okay, what is it now?
It's called the Child Mind Institute. And then it's the Healthy Brain Network Study. And you can go onto the Child Mind Institute website. And it's like, it's one of the tabs. You have to look for it on the website. And I was, somebody had told me about the Child Mind Institute. I thought, oh, this is great. And then when I saw what it cost, I'm like, and what do the poor people do? You know, I'm like, hello. And I was navigating the website, and I just clicked on this tab that said something like research study. And I said, thank God. So, and that also, you'll have backup and documentation if anything ever happens. You know, that he gets in trouble or whatever, you'll have clinical support. And that's another thing that I did also.
Yeah,
like if
I
anything,
tried counseling with him.
No, I tried everything with my son. This isn't counseling. This is a research study. And and my son turned down everything. The reason he went for this is because I said, you're going to be contributing to brain science and research. And also, it pays a tiny little bit of money, like an Amazon gift card, this, that, and the other. But that was incentive, too. You know what I mean? Like, they would give us a little bit of cash, and I take them out to lunch after or something. So look into it. But instead of – I know what that – you're in the rabbit hole, and I recognize it, which is why I can speak on it, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
So turn it – turn it around. You're exhausted, and you got to forgive everybody, including yourself. Very difficult to do. We blame ourselves for everything. But repair that auric field and look into the Child Mind Institute, the Healthy Brain Network study. You're in Jersey, so you can do it. People come from all over the tri-state to participate in this, and they always need people. So that's my recommendation.
Yeah, he's draining. He reminds me of my brother. Like, that's my biggest concern. It's like, oh, my God, here it is.
Yeah,
you know,
so we
I'm
do something about it. So we
man.
Do something. I'm cutting you off on purpose.
Also, won't give me a break.
I'm cutting you off on purpose because
mm-hmm.
you know your story all too well.
Yeah.
You know the story. We repeat the story over and over and over. It's daring to step out of that story into, okay, I don't know from the next moment, but I know that this heaviness means I'm not in alignment. If I meditate for 5 minutes, I'll be in alignment. If I focus on the love that I have for my child, I'll be in alignment. If I forgive all others for their transgressions, I'll be in alignment. That's your biggest ally, and it's very difficult. I had to force myself to really step back yesterday and the day before, and I'm not used to that, and to find the grace in that, and just pray for grace. You know, do whatever you need to do. It's not all or nothing. And when I was speaking to my friend who's like a healer, my friend Teresa in New Mexico, and I said this earlier, maybe you didn't hear it, about she said, you know, you go from one extreme to the next. One extreme is that you're always like on your kid, do your work, do your this, do this. You're fighting, you're this, you're that, you're stressed, you feel inadequate as a parent, and you feel like you have to blame yourself for everything. Or you go the other way, like fold your own laundry and figure out what you're going to eat for dinner. Then you like,
right.
It's like,
well,
all or nothing.
I'm there now. That's where I'm at.
So what she's recognizing that energetically to Jackie. So what I'm saying is what Teresa said to me yesterday that really helped. I had to combine the two energies. I had to find the midway. I had to find the way of being in the middle, because either extreme, whether you're a parent that caters to their child and enables them, and they totally walk all over you, and you're doing it in the name of love, well, that's not going to work. And if you completely aren't there for them as a stable force, as someone to really listen to them, and Teresa said to me yesterday, well, who is he talking to? You have somebody to talk to. Your other son has somebody. Who is he talking to? You know, and he's talking to his punk-ass friends. Well,
exactly.
that's not gonna take us any place, because that's just a whole bunch of arrested development. And
who are not his friends.
He needs to switch, and he needs to. They're not really his friends. Same thing with my son. You got to switch up your friend group. So I would really suggest finding resources, and there are scholarships for therapeutic camps. He's still young enough, or he could. There are ways. I think it's about really proactive. I got my son half a scholarship for a camp up in Massachusetts, because he needs to be in a rural environment, and he needs to be around kids from different parts of the area, not just across the street where it's just very provincial. It's very limited.
And like in the past, the only time I was able to make him or get him help, I had to have him forced through the courts. And it's crazy because
as a person, was it a PIN as a person
that
needed supervision? Was it
that way? Why do we have to go this route?
Well, you know
what?
You can't even ask. You can't even ask. Instead of asking a line, it's just a line. When you align, it's going to help everybody. It's going to help the situation. We're not used to that. We're not used to that. But you got to catch your breath, sweetheart.
No.
You don't want to get sick. You got to catch your breath. Are you taking care of yourself?
Yeah, I've been going to the doctor. I've been, you know, trying to get rest. I'm on spring break now.
Okay,
but,
good.
You know,
because you work in the school. And how's your diet?
Mm, That's kind of iffy. Sometimes
yeah,
I don't
iffy.
Have the appetite. But, you know.
Okay, well, when
I could do better there. I would rather do some juicing and
yeah.
all but it's time.
Make higher vibrancy choices with everything, your thoughts, your food, everything. Get out of, you're in the rabbit hole, sweetheart. I recognize it because I know I've lived there. And it's and what made you think, okay, I'm going to call this show. I haven't talked to these guys. And we have to sign off in a second.
I haven't spoken to you guys in a while because of my schedule. I'm usually in class this time
right.
now.
Right.
Before, I used to have a break first thing in the morning. So
that's
while
right.
I
they used to call us during your break.
Prepared,
right.
I was able to call you guys. I was on my prep. I could listen in.
Right.
I could multitask and participate at the same time.
Right.
But this
right.
year, I,
I
ended up having
now.
A class
right.
as soon as I got to work. So I've been running all year long to the point
right.
where I'm tired.
Well, you got to rest. I'll take the spring break to rest, sweetheart.
Tired.
So
you're right. I mean, I can feel it in my auric field. And
yeah.
It sits in. In
repair it.
It
repair
sits
it.
In my belly.
Well, of course. Of course. So you know, you have the insight you're, and the intelligence. Even if you go on YouTube and you Google, like, you know, sacral chakra meditation or cleaning your auric field. You could do that right now for free in your bed.
Right.
So that seriously, and I hope, when do you go back to school? Is it Monday?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, whenever you can, maybe just email the show, whatever, loablend@gmail.com. Let us know how you're doing. But you can turn this around miraculously.
I know.
Okay.
I know,
maybe you just needed to be reminded, sweetheart.
Yeah, I know. And plus, I wanted to speak to you ladies. I have to go back and listen to some of the archive. I've been busy.
Okay. Jeez. Well, they're there. All right.
And I
so,
just want to put my feet up on a veranda somewhere and look at the shore, listen
right.
to seagulls. Or
well, do that as a meditation. Listen to ocean sounds. You can on a cellular, on an auric level, do the things that you want to do within the circumstances that you find yourself in and focus on what you do have that's good. That's another.
Do you know the only thing what you said to me that I have a hard time receiving?
Yeah.
Did I agree to this? Okay, before I was born, I agreed to this.
I said in relationship to my relationship with my ex-husband that I chose this. That's I signed up for this. I didn't say before you were born. I never said that to you.
No, people say that.
People say that
before you come into this world.
That's a tough one. My response to that. No, I understand what you're saying. Cause I would never say that to somebody because I'm like, hello. But my response to that is that that's something that in our brains right now on this plane. That mystery won't be revealed until we're not in the physical. Then I think we'll get the answer to that. So
okay.
That's how I deal with that because I can't.
Judgment Day. This is your test. Here's your scores.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. I feel like I got left back a few times. That's how I feel. So. But that's how I look at it. I don't think I could have. I am in the position to say that I could say I signed up for this. I chose this relationship. I chose this behavior. I chose this reaction. I chose this response. Yes, I could take accountability for what I'm conscious of. But in terms of before I came here, girl, I have no idea. I don't think I'm going to know until I'm not here. That's my take on that. I'm glad you asked that question. Okay, we're going to sign off, sweetheart, and just hang the hell in there.
Lady.
Love you. Hang in there.
I am.
Take care.
Oh, no, thank you.
Elisa, if you would do the honors of signing off.
Anyway, thank you for joining us. We are back on the air this Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. If you do need to get in touch with us, email loablend@gmail.com. And please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. And we have a few other shows coming up on the same program. So keep an eye out for that. And you can do that by signing up and liking us. And finally, hope everyone takes care, and let the light do the work. Love you.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.